Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Nate Mink, Ben Jones, we're going to go with them tomorrow. They get delayed in being here today. But it's not as if we don't have plenty in the tank. We can make adjustments without question, including Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football. I had a chance to talk to Don early today. Don, welcome. Great to have you on board.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's get to Indiana football. And when a team runs plays at 20.8 seconds a clip, does Buck ever get to talk anymore?
Well, he complains about it vehemently. But, yes, he does get to talk every now and then. Not to the degree that he would like, which sometimes, you know, I think this is the best line I've ever heard. When Buck first started with us many years ago, he came home and he asked his wife, well, how do you think I did? And she says, you know, when somebody asks you what time it is, you're not supposed to tell them how to build the watch. And so I thought that was a pretty good line on his wife's part. But the fact of the matter is this team does go fast. They love the up-tempo. They have not been very effective with it here the last, well, certainly not against Wisconsin.
Right.
And they've had a couple of ball games where they've not been as effective at it as you would like. But the fact that this coach goes about his business in this way as far as the offense is concerned has really helped Indiana develop something else teams have to prepare for, and it's not that easy to prepare for, so it's helped Indiana.
No question about it. Defensively, Larry Black and Adam Rapogal are right up there in sacks, tackles for loss, and so forth, yet Wisconsin and some other teams have been effective running the football against them. Is that a counter when you're talking about the fact teams run well, but Indiana gets so many tackles for loss?
Well, the problem that Indiana's had is really more involving the defensive backfield, in my opinion, or the help that these guys in the interior line are able to get from that group. And I say that in the sense that one of the things that, as you well know, you've got to have defensively is speed. And this team still doesn't have it. We're still not there yet, and we won't be for another year or two, until the recruiting dictates that. We're just not as quick as some teams. Now, I will give the coaching staff credit. They've gotten these players that we do have in better position to make plays, but sometimes they don't make them simply because the guy that's going up against them is simply better. I mean, facts of life are facts of life. And in this particular situation, I think if you attack Indiana on the perimeter, I think that's where success can be had. And that's where most teams who have run the football have had it. I think the kids on the inside have done a really good job for the most part of handling what they're supposed to handle, but we're still not there from a talent perspective in those other spots. And until we get there, it's still going to be a long road.
Cam Coffin comes in as a junior college transfer. Trey Roberson, at least, had been in the system for a year. Give us an idea of the job Cam's done in picking that up, and then when he was forced into the spot where he was the starter, how he's handled all this.
Well, I honestly think he's a pretty smart kid. Obviously, he did a great job a year ago as a junior college player and taking his team to the national championship game. So he's got some tools. He's a pretty good scrambler. He's not a great speed guy like Trey Roberson was, and he probably doesn't hurt you with his feet, but his feet help him get out of trouble occasionally. He's not a great thrower in the sense of strong arm type guy, but he's a pretty accurate thrower. And he's done a pretty good job of handling the situation. He makes some mistakes every now and then. I think some of his problems are that he's harder on himself than even the coaching staff is. But that said, he's a solid fit for what Indiana tries to do and what the offense dictates. And he's had help from Nate Sudfeld, the true freshman, who's been, you know, in the perception of the head coach, Kevin Wilson, thinks that both these kids are almost dead even in what they bring to the table as far as, you know, how good a quarterback they are at this point in their careers. He's used both. He brings Sudfeld off the bench most of the time, or he actually has all of the time, but probably hasn't had as much playing time as Cam simply because he doesn't have that experience level.
In a state that loves its basketball, and Indiana has the number one ranked team in the country, and you've been to Final Fours, national championships, you've seen the whole thing, Don. What has at least this style of offense done to at least get some people juiced in Indiana football within the state that loves its basketball so much?
Well, the truth is, Steve, it hasn't done a lot yet. I think people have talked about Indiana football more this season than they have in recent years, in the sense that they've seen improvement from this team. They've seen that Kevin Wilson has made some inroads with getting his kids to all buy in. A year ago, that was not the case. It was a ball club that was struggling internally with chemistry, with cohesion, with guys that really wanted to do it the way the coaching staff wanted to do it. And, you know, as everybody knows, when you make changes in the coaches, that can happen. And Indiana didn't have that cohesion last year and fell flat in its face with a 1-11 record. This season, Indiana's had four games that they've lost by a total of 9 points and probably shouldn't have been as wide a margin against Northwestern as that game was. All that said, they finally come up and win a couple of ball games, put themselves in the mix talking-wise, and then lay a huge egg last week in the biggest game of the season from the stage perspective of Indiana having a chance to control their own destiny down the road and just get blown away. And now, of course, everybody says, well, that's the same old Indiana. And it's truly not. I mean, honestly, these kids have fought. They've been resilient despite the fact they had a 5-game losing streak and were suffering heartbreaking losses. They came back every week and gave it all they had. And that, I think, impressed a lot of the fans, but it still hasn't changed the perspective that Indiana football is nowhere where it needs to be at this point, and it's still going to be a while before they get there.
Don, it's always a pleasure. I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Well, we look forward to it, Steve. I appreciate it very much, and we always love coming to State College, Pennsylvania.
Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana football, and he has been... he really is in my profession. He's one of the finest broadcasters in the country. I mean, you listen to him do an Indiana basketball game, Indiana football game. I mean, Don's just really just great at his job, and he's just a great guy, and is, you know, another one of those fun guys to be around because he doesn't have an ego or any of that stuff. He just is really good at what he does, and that's one of the. There are a lot of elements about my job that are fun. You know, you get to go to games, you get to broadcast games, you get to create on the air, you get to travel to places, maybe not San Juan, but you get to travel to places. All right. But you also get to meet a lot of people and a lot of really good people. And that's what you look at the people that broadcast in this conference. And you've heard so many of them this season. And you'll hear from Matt LePay next week. They're all really great guys. And that's the part, you know, we've had on Paul Keels, Dave Ennett, Tim Newton, you know, Brian Barnhart, you know, now Don, Matt's on next week. And, you know, and just good, good people. And... yeah, there are other people that we've had on. Will Tiemann we've had on how many times from Michigan State this year? You know, because what Michigan State's done so well in basketball. And we have, remember we had Will on talking about the Carrier Classic experience and things like that. You know, Paul from the Final Four and all the NCAA tournament stuff that we did last year with these guys. I mean, a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that we've done with them along the way. And, you know, Mike, we had Mike Grimm on from the NIT championship game when Minnesota played that night against Stanford. Mike joined us from Madison Square Garden from Minnesota. Gary Dolphin from Iowa. mean, these are all really good people. I mean, you would, all of you would really enjoy sitting in a room with each of them, slugging back your favorite adult beverage and listening to stories. They have stories, lots of them. And they're just good people to be around, good people to be with. That's why every time I ask a favor, and it's vice versa. I mean, because Dom will, they ask me favors as well. I've been on their shows too. But we all say yes to each other to do these various things because as colleagues, you know, I didn't mention Frank Beckman from Michigan. I haven't had a chance to talk about Frank yet. I'm going to try and get Frank and Paul Keels on next week to talk about Michigan and Ohio State. You know, even though I'm, you know, it's a bit, you know, it's always a big game. They get together, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I got it. But I'll try and do something with each of them next week on that. We'll put it on Friday's show. We're going to have a limited show on Friday next week. Now, Sarah, I need to know, planning-wise, you know, when it comes to beverages and chips, when I go to Brewer's Outlet, how many people I'm planning for on Friday.
Well, I got to think about knowing I'm coming. Kevin's coming. Kevin's son is coming. I think Buhner's heading down.
Oh, Buhner. Good, yeah.
So, Drew?
Yeah, Drew.
We got a good...
Yeah, Drew, we need the equipment. Drew better show up. Let's see. Kevin's kid, boy. That's two bags of chips. His kid as well needs a lot of additional beverages, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll get you that final count soon.
Boy, that's a pretty steep count, you know. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Two teams together, great matchup. I'm telling you, Bucknell will have a tough time matching up with Tim Frazier. Penn State's going to have a tough time matching up with Mike Muscala. It's going to be interesting, very interesting. I'm looking forward to that game next Friday very much. One at a time, though. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline. And we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Shamokin Dam Orchestra just kicking it.
As always.
I'm not surprised. I mean, Sarah tapping the toes.
I can't help but dance.
Kevin tried to once. Another sad incident we won't get into. All right, our number 1-800-795-9565. The injury to Ben Roethlisberger is far more serious than they originally thought. They were talking about an SC joint. Okay, that's fine. That's the question: how long does it take to get over that? The soreness, it's the passing shoulder, so forth. But the problem is, he also dislocated ribs. Well, when he dislocated his ribs, one of them is dislocated in such a way where it's near the aorta. And the dislocated rib is the biggest worry. That's why he's out. They're worried that if he gets hit or jostled in any way, then he could suffer internal injuries. And right now, the pain level he has, he says on a scale of 1 to 10, he says is a 9 right now. And Byron Leftwich doesn't quite fit what Todd Haley wants to do offensively, but he's going to have to figure it out. And Todd Haley, but it's not just a question of him figuring it out. It also is a question, actually, of Todd Haley figuring out Leftwich. I mean, you know, the play caller has to also fit what the individual can do. And that's part of it. You have to do a good job of putting your players in the best position to succeed. And that's going to be his big challenge, is putting Leftwich in the best position to succeed. Now, what can make that help against the Ravens is a really good running game. A really good running game can help him overcome maybe some of the deficiencies in the pass game that they could potentially have. And I mean could. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're definitely down and out. when it comes to this game. But let's face it, the Ravens are a great home team. They are not a good home team. They are a great home team. And and that's going to be a big problem. So, again, he's out of the Ravens game. The question is, how long is he out? Our number, 1-800-795-9565. What do you expect from the Steelers now that it's not Ben Roethlisberger's team, at least this week, and maybe a little deeper into the future? The Steelers of late have played great defense. They played great defense against the Giants. They played great defense against Kansas City. That's part of the formula. Ran the ball really well against the Giants. I thought ran the ball decently against Kansas City. But against the Ravens, they're going to need to run the football. That way, when Leftwich does go play action, there's some meaning to it. If the Ravens take away the ground game on the Steelers, if they were to shut that down in the first quarter and a half, the Steelers are going to be cooked and fried on Sunday night. They won't be able to keep pace. So that is a big issue in this game on Sunday. Now, a completely different issue is actually in the NBA with Royce White. Now, listen to this. And I knew about this when he was actually at Minnesota for a year, and then he transferred to Iowa State. Guys, really good player, a lot of leadership qualities, but guess what? He's afraid to fly. He has John Madden disease. That's why Madden took the cruiser around all the time. He was afraid to fly. Well, he has anxiety disorder. He doesn't fly. Okay? He missed a game Monday. He missed practice yesterday. Last night's representative released a statement from White saying that in hindsight, perhaps it was not a good idea to be open and honest about my anxiety disorder due to the current situations at hand that involve the nature of actions from the Houston Rockets. As a rookie, I want to settle into a team and make progress, but since preseason, the Rockets have been inconsistent with their agreement to proactively create a healthy and successful relationship. Originally, White did not show up for the start of the Rockets training camp in October, but he and the Rockets worked out a plan to have him travel by bus to away games. It appears they would be able to start his NBA career as planned. But after missing practices, White obviously is dissatisfied. He said, this is important to me. It's a health issue. He said, I must advocate for my rights. It is a player's commodity league. The failure to meet my request for support will end with me being unhealthy, and that is not the consequence I'm willing to accept to play any sport. Rockets took a chance on White. Very talented, versatile. 16th overall pick in the draft. 13.5 points, 9 boards, 5 assists. And they're aware of his condition entering the draft. Many decided to steer away from him. Last month, White spoke positively about the plan, from which the Rockets will enable him to play without flying. But he has also wondered whether a career in the NBA is realistically feasible. Speaking on CNN in October, he said, just knowing what I know about anxiety and mental health, there is a side of my mind that can't look away from the fact that I do think about it every day. I wake up and I think about it. Am I cut out for this? That's a question that increasingly the Rockets have been asking to Houston and hope to have three of its promising rookies, including Scott Machado and White, all play in their D-League affiliate. But White won't show up. He can't play. Rockets general manager Daryl Morey is not commenting on White's situation, but did stick by his previous position, which has been supportive of White. He said, we're committed to his long-term success, and we will continue to support him and going forward with him. But he is definitely afraid of flying. And in today's sports, that's tough. I mean, somebody was asking about how rough travel is. You know, Penn State went to Nebraska. You know how long that took? The flight took 2 hours. Hey, it's a 3.5-hour drive from here to Philadelphia. It took 2 hours to fly to Nebraska, 2 hours back. Okay, security takes a little bit longer, so it ends up being about 2:45. So travel's easy as long as you think it's easy. For him, it scares him to death. It's a hard way to get along in this profession.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Final half hour of the show. Our thanks to Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana, and Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach of Penn State, for joining us earlier in the show. Open line between now and the top of the hour in the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. It's Jack Ham that nicknamed the Sunbury Motor Studio the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yes, we'll get Jack on next week's show, by the way. Preferably on a day that Kevin can't work.
He'll be so upset.
That's the reason why we planned it that way.
I knew you'd say that.
I think it's worked out great. Cal Athletic Director Sandy Barber, who gave Jeff Tedford a strong vote of confidence earlier this season, will decide his fate Sunday after the Bears' final game of the season. Cal's 3-8, lost the last four games by a combined 150-60. They play Oregon State this weekend, where they'll be the underdog. Now, he's the winningest coach in Cal history, 82 wins in 11 seasons, led Cal to 8 of their 21 bowl games. But right now, they have a cash flow problem. It's a big problem in college sports right now. Fans are not going to the games. And the university debt has payment. The university has debt payments to be made on the recent stadium renovation there on the top of the hill in Berkeley. Meanwhile, Cal will owe Tedford $6.9 million if he is fired, an obvious revenue drain. But they're trying to generate some enthusiasm in a fluid Pac-12. Charlie Strong of Louisville, James Franklin of Vanderbilt, Willie Taggart of Western Kentucky, Gary Anderson, who's done a great job at Utah State, Mike McIntyre, San Jose State, the usual suspects will be out there. And one thing that makes Anderson appealing is that Utah State, they run up tempo. Now, they're pretty good. I mean, he's a defensive guy first, because Utah State's sixth in the nation in scoring defense. But the spread offense, the Aggies are averaging 32 points a game. So here's the question I want to ask the fans out there. You see how Oregon plays, and you also see, for example, how Penn State plays and with their style of offense now, Alabama, LSU, Notre Dame, how they play. Do you like watching the Oregon offense where every play's like that? Or do you like to see this game slow down a bit? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. You like to see them huddle up, come out, break the huddle, set up, run a play. Or do you like to see this? Okay, everybody, run back to the line of scrimmage. Get ready, snap it. Okay, let's go. Go, 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 go. Indiana, for example, averages a play every 20.8 seconds. Every 20.8 seconds, Indiana adds a play. Now, if you're thinking I sat there and I took their plays and they took their time of possession and I put that together, no. It's in their game notes, all right? I'm not that clever. I mean, I do put a lot of work in, but I didn't put that much work on that one. They handed it to me. But I'd like to know your thoughts on that. Is the speed game of college football where they're ratcheting up a lot of points? Hey. Is that appealing to you, the fan? Or would you like to see it slow down just a bit, maybe ratchet it back a tad? I mean, you watch the games, you enjoy it. You don't see the NFL teams playing that way, and the NFL's wildly popular. Games are sold out, TV ratings are high. And the NFL does not run. I mean, certain teams, like the Patriots, for example, yeah, they play at a faster pace. Jets have complained about it, say they can't make adjustments in terms of getting personnel on the field and so forth because of it. They say they should be allowed to as a defense under the rules. You don't really NFL fast. they'll huddle and go. So do you like that pace or do you like the Oregon pace? And what Chip Kelly does. Our number 1-800-795-9565. So that's so they're looking at that at Cal right now. What they want to do with him. In fact, you know, the oddity's been there 11 years. I was there in Berkeley the day he was hired. Penn State was playing in a tournament out there. They played Cal and they played Coppin State. End up splitting it. Actually played a great game against Cal. They lost that game by, I think, 2-3 points. Played a great game against Cal at Haas Pavilion. And then beat Coppin State, Fang Mitchell's team. But I was actually, and then they hired Jeff Tedford that day. I was there when they hired him. The guy's done a great job for them. This season's not a good season. But there's too much panic in sports. And the big reason why is the money part of it. As they're pointing out, they renovated the stadium. And look, the only time I saw that stadium was 11 years ago. Up on the top of the hill. And it was old then. Now, I know they've renovated it, which is great, but they also owe a lot of money on it. So, obviously, that's going to enter into it. And attendance is down at 55%. Of college football venues across the country, 55%. Down a lot of places this year. And you see it in bowl games all over the place. Penn State's been very fortunate in the bowl games it's played in. I've done a couple of Capital One Bowls. Each time the place is almost filled. I've done a couple of Outback Bowls. Each time the place is almost filled. The Rose Bowl obviously was sold out. The Orange Bowl obviously was sold out. Alamo Bowl was sold out. Okay, and despite the bad weather, the Capital One Bowl with LSU was sold out. Now, the Ticket City Bowl last year and the Cotton Bowl, they had 30,000 fans there. There were 60,000 empty seats, which we all expected that. We expected lousy attendance. It's the second game there. You know, it's the second bowl game in town. And even though the Cotton Bowl tries to do a good job in helping to run it and treating it with respect, it is, it's not going to happen. I mean, the Ticket City Bowl is not going to be, it's just not going to be a draw. It's just not going to be a draw. So.
I want to go back. You mentioned Chip Kelly, and there's been a lot of talk that he might be a great match for the Eagles. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, Chip Kelly in the NFL is going to happen. I can't imagine him staying out there at Oregon. I think he'd like to take this thing to a different level and see how it works on that level. I mean, if that were to happen, Eagles fans, I think would love the opportunity to see it. Now, because what he does. A lot of these quick spread offenses, Sarah, actually do a pretty good job of taking the offensive line out of the equation. Not completely. You still have to, obviously, on running plays, block it. You don't have to hold your blocks as long on pass plays. And then we all know the Eagles' biggest deficiency is the offensive line. And you look at the skill set that they have. Macklin, DeSean Jackson, Brett Celek, I think a lot of people like to have him as their tight end. LeSean McCoy. I mean, I may not be a big LeSean McCoy fan, but I understand the great talent LeSean McCoy has. And Michael Vick. That's not a bad skill set. It's a really good skill set. You know, Jason Avant's not a bad, third wide out to have. You want to stick in the slot? But Chip Kelly would want to come in. He'd want to play fast, fast, and fast. And would it be an interesting NFL match. I think Eagle fans will be excited about the possibility. And I think it would have an opportunity to change the dynamics of the NFL because it would be so different. I mean, he wants you to be, you know, on your heels defensively. So, Matt McGloin, by the way, has been nominated for the Burlsworth Award. Now, what is that? That is the top football player that entered school as a walk-on. There are 50 nominees for this. Okay, there are 50 nominees for this. And he's one of them. You know, Mike Meyer of Iowa, Jared Aberderis of Wisconsin, Jordan Kovacs of Michigan are among the names on the list. And again, you know, we've tried to point this out so many times. These are good football players. And too often labels ruin things. And this is a great deal. That they put out something like this just to show that people do move on. And can have success in college football despite the fact that they are not. So here are the nominees. These are guys that are nominated, okay, for this award. And these obviously are all really good players. Okay, really good players. Keith Osier, the senior wide receiver from Arizona State. Cole Lonigan, safety from Arkansas State. Jameel Smith, a wide receiver for Ball State. Ezekiel Ansah, the defensive lineman from BYU. Chandler Catanzaro, the place kicker from Clemson. James Skelton, the linebacker from Colorado State. Garrett Ryder, the safety at Duke. Kristen Apolago, the senior outside linebacker from Fresno. B.J. Finney from Kansas State. Norman Wolf, Kent State. Jeremiah Taylor from Marshall. Anthony Amos, the wide receiver from Middle Tennessee State. Chris Salvi, the senior safety at Notre Dame. Keith Moore, saw him play linebacker for Ohio University. Bryson Rose, place kicker at Ole Miss. Andrew Samalo, the defensive linebacker, the defensive tackle from Oregon State. Matt McGloin. Jamal Thomas, who's a defensive tackle at Rice. Michael Burton, the fullback at Rutgers. David Quessenberry, offensive lineman from San Jose State. Joel Hastley, the linebacker from TCU. Andrew Abbott, the strong safety of UCLA. Carson Tinker, the deep snapper at Alabama, the young man who was thrown from his building during the tornado, about 50 to 100 feet, lost his girlfriend tragically in that. Heck of a football player. Trey Clark, the senior offensive lineman from South Alabama. You know, Jared Tevis, the safety at Arizona. Dylan Breeding, the punter at Arkansas. Kyle Negret, the punter at USC, that occasionally gives his jersey to the backup quarterback when he's the holder. Legal, yes. Lane Kiffin, you betcha. Unbelievable. Let's see. Ryan Iverson, the deep snapper from Colorado. John McEntee, the senior quarterback at UConn. Shane Ross, who I think is a really good wideout at Houston. Bobby Cowan, the punter at Idaho. Mike Meyer, the fine place kicker at Iowa. Craig McIntosh, place kicker at Kentucky. Alex Cupper, the offensive tackle at Louisville. Mitchell Bailey, that's had a fine year as a running back at Louisiana Monroe. Mitchell Hustling, the defensive back at Memphis. Jordan Kovacs, senior co-captain, the safety at Michigan. Max Copeland, the junior offensive lineman from Missouri. Spencer Long, who's the starting guard at Nebraska, really good. Matt Rayner, the strong safety at New Mexico. Pete Mangum, the defensive back at North Carolina. Dominic Whaley, hey, the running back from Oklahoma. Dominic Whaley is a walk-on. Alex King, the punter at Texas. Jay Lindeman, the offensive lineman at Toledo. Jared St. John, the defensive end at Tulsa. Jared Aberderis, the wide receiver at Wisconsin. Just fabulous player. Everybody loved to have him. Devin Walker, the safety at Tulane. McKay Brady, the free safety at Utah State. Spencer Bishop, the tight end at Wake Forest. They have a big game this week with Notre Dame. And Eric Monte, the wide receiver from Western Michigan. All really good players. 50 of them nominated for this award. Matt's one of them, Matt McGloin. Welcome back. Final few minutes of the show today. Tomorrow, Nate Big Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. So we'll flip things in reverse here. They were delayed getting over here today, so because of that, we moved on to Don Fisher and Patrick Chambers and getting them on the show. So I think that worked out just fine. And hopefully it worked out fine for you as listeners as well. And don't forget, big week coming up. Penn State basketball tomorrow. They have 6th-ranked NC State tomorrow in Puerto Rico. And then they play either UMass or Providence on Friday. And on top of that, Bucknell won last night. Beat George Mason women's basketball tonight. Bucknell, 7 o'clock at Soica, takes on St. Francis in the second game of their season. And, Sarah, I just talked to my contact during one of the breaks, and yes, we will be getting Patrick McEnroe on from the Australian Open.
This is great news.
In exchange for somebody being on Patrick McEnroe's show in New York.
So well, we'll see you up there, Steve.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm going to have to do that, which is fine with me. He's a great guy, so I'm looking forward to that. And then the U.S. Open thing, we've got that set up for next June, which forces the hand of management to keep us on the air till then.
Yeah, exactly. You think ahead. Yeah, I mean, like this.
It's this kind of diabolical attitude. Okay, why do you think Lawrence is so successful? He's diabolical.
He plans years ahead.
So he could tell you right now which county commissioner is going to be on in the November 2014 show. He's the power broker. He can do that. But we have the holidays coming up. And I know there are a lot of things going on. They're going to do something here. They're trying to, quote, fill up the blue bus, which is the player bus, with food for the food bank here. But whatever you can do, I want to encourage everybody, whatever you can do to help out the food banks in the Valley. Please, it's Thanksgiving. Okay? It's Thanksgiving. That includes gift cards. You know, people are struggling. I mean, if you're fortunate in your life, things are going along okay, perfect. You know, if things are going along and, you know, you're getting by, okay, I understand. Some people can afford more than others. I understand that. But, you know, we have to think about and make sure that we think about those less fortunate than we are. Help them out. And a good way is through the food bank. You know, it's one thing, when you look at the Toys for Tots rolls, here in Center County, I'll give you an example here in Center County. I've been the honorary chairman for Toys for Tots here in Center County. And this year it's Patrick Chambers and Coquise Washington as co-chairs. What they do is that they take Toys for Tots, the rolls from the food bank, and that's how they determine who gets toys. I mean, because those people are on assistance. You know, by going to the food bank, they actually use those rolls. And the goal is to get four new toys to every youngster. It's not just to get a toy, but four of them to each youngster. It's a great goal. So whatever you can do to help out food banks up and down the Valley, especially here it is at Thanksgiving, maybe it'll make things a little nicer, a little brighter for somebody. Because in your own life, maybe you have a lot to be thankful for. And Thanksgiving, of course, is a week from tomorrow. So it's just a personal aside. Just wanted to pass that along to all of you, just to remember the importance of the season and how important each of our neighbors happens to be. And hopefully you'll be able to do that. And we pass that along. And we'll continue to pass along little things like that during this holiday season. Now, next week, the entire gang is going to be here. Sarah's going to be here. Drew Kelly's going to be here. Buhner. Kevin. That kid of his. Actually, his son will be bringing Kevin. I'm trying to think. Helen.
That might be the way it works. Yeah. Just imagine our car ride down there. The come visit you.
Doug Berg song?
Yeah.
Because Doug will be doing the game for the Bucknell Network. Be great to have Doug here as well. Hey, we got 1 hour to get it all done, okay? 1 hour.
Oh, you can do that. Come on.
Oh, no. We can get everybody in there. I'll tell you that right now. We're going to have a blast next week. Sarah, Buhner, Doug, Drew. I got everybody, didn't I? We'll talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.